to more on the police shooting of Jacob Blake, the disturbing video sparking another call for justice in cities across the U.S. Joining us live now, civil rights attorney Ben Kronk, who represents Jacob Blake and his family, along with the families of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. Good to see you again, Ben, again under these circumstances. Let's start first with, how is Blake doing, still in the hospital?
Well, after his family got to see him yesterday, they are relieved that he is in stable condition. However, he's still in intensive care, and he's still facing more surgeries in the near future.
Ben, how are those kids doing? They were in the car when their dad was shot.
Well, TJ, obviously, everybody who's seen this video is just shocked and outraged and devastated. But his three sons, his 8-year-old, his 5-year-old, and his 3-year-old are absolutely devastated. And you can only imagine the psychological problems that these babies are going to have for the rest of their lives.
And Ben, tell us, go to the incident here now. And can you confirm, in fact, he was shot 7 times in the back?
He was shot at 7 times in the back. Trying to confirm that he was hit 4 times, even though the officer fired 7. So those facts are yet to be verified.
And only one officer fired, is that right?
That is what we understand, yes.
And he was there to break up a fight, as you said. So help us now understand how he goes from there to break up a fight to this incident and what we saw on video.
You know, that is the question. Several witnesses said that the police seemed to be the aggressors from the moment they got on the scene. And the video shows what happened. He was walking away. He wasn't posing a threat to them or anything like that. So it seems yet again, TJ, that we have police officers who are using excessive, unnecessary force and shooting an unarmed black man in America.
But two things here. There are reports that possibly a witness heard police say drop the knife, and also reports that there was possibly a scuffle before what we see on the video. So do you have any indication that he was armed in any way, and was there some kind of altercation between Blake and the officers beforehand?
We have no indication that he was armed by any of the witnesses that has come forward to us. And TJ, this family seems to think, and this community thinks, that it's a double standard when they charge a black person with something nefarious and they have video. They say, well, watch the video. But when the police use excessive force against us and there's video, they say, well, let's put it in context. The video doesn't show the whole story. The video shows what happened. Now they're trying to justify the unjustifiable of them shooting him all those times in front of his children at his son's birthday party.
And Ben, from what you see on that video, is that enough for an arrest right now, that officer, for you?
Absolutely. And his family is calling for the immediate termination of this officer who unnecessarily, unjustifiably, and senselessly shot him all those times in the back. And that's why you have people protesting, not only in Wisconsin, but now, TJ, they're starting to protest all over America saying enough is enough. When will black lives matter?
Ben, last thing here to you, on a more of a personal note, I know you were with the family of Trayvon Martin last night with his mother. You were in Louisville representing the family of Breonna Taylor, had an event there last night, and you got on the plane overnight to be in Wisconsin to meet with the family now of Blake. You seem to be going from city to city, tragedy to tragedy, video to video. There are emotions on anger and rage in the streets, but you're closer to these incidents than anybody. What is this now like for you to be hopping around the country and having another, yet another, yet another? What are your emotions?
It's very sad, TJ. As we testified in front of the U.S. Congress, George Floyd's brother and I said, this is the time now in America that we need systematic reform to change the culture and the behavior of policing in America. And if we don't, we're going to continue to see these hashtags, and we're going to continue to see protests in different cities, and cities are going to be on fire because people are saying enough is enough.
And of course, we know the family of Jacob Blake calling for peace in the streets and for everyone to certainly be peaceful. But Bancroft, I know we're going to talk to you again down the road. Good to see you as always.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Welcome to Airgas. I'm your host, Jamori Kennard. As you just heard, the news clip of this brother who was gunned down at his son's birthday party. Might I add, was shot at 7 times from behind. He was hit 4 times. Now that was earlier today. I've got the news now. This man is paralyzed from the neck down. Listen, man. I've been calm. And I've been trying to keep a level head about all this. I've done my protesting. I've been out in these streets putting in the work in the communities. And I'm at the point now where I'm fed up. I'm at the point now where I want to just tell people, look, let's start doing them how they do us. You'll get America attention that way. They don't care about no protests. They cover it on the news and the media, you know, when you're tearing up the neighborhoods and stores, but they really don't care until you're out of your community and into their community. Let's go to some of these rich communities and start creating chaos and a fuss and kicking up dust in the rich areas. That's the only way they gonna feel us. I'm fed up, man. I'm sick and tired of playing games. And I wish I had an army, man. I wish I had what the Nation of Islam had when they had the Million Man March. I wish I had 1 million men. And 1 million women to ride with me. To not be afraid. To stand up. To do something other than talk. I was on Facebook today with a good friend of mine, Dre. We had to defend our people and all people who are unjustly and unfairly treated wrong, who are killed, assassinated, modern day lynched. We had to defend these people and ourselves and what we represent as black men in America against people who are trying to justify every single incident that's happening to us black people in America. You don't know the control and the restraint that you have to try to have a conversation. And at some point, you don't want to have the conversation no more because you realize that people are not being ignorant because they're ignorant. They're being ignorant out of self-will. They are wanting to see something else. They are wanting to find a way to blame these people who are getting killed on now what seems like a daily basis. They're trying to find a way to justify their actions. And these guys online today were bringing up his past. And what? Listen, man. I'm going to tell you now. If you're on my social media, if you listen to my radio show, if you listen to this podcast, don't bring up somebody's past and try to justify what happened to them unjustly. Like I told a guy today on the internet, I used to sell drugs, man. I was hanging out in the streets, heavy. I was whoring around, heavy. I have the kids to prove it. And what I told this guy, because he seemed to think about, he seemed to think that his record or his past should be taken into consideration when it's time to make an arrest or punish someone. And I debated him, and I just told him and I mentioned to him of all the things I used to be, that I am no longer. And I asked the question, should my past represent me now in this present day? Out of all the community work I've done, out of all the things I've accomplished, out of raising kids, becoming a better person, should my past still be my reputation present day, 2020? The answer is no. People can change. People do things. Some are mistakes. Some are not mistakes. Regardless of whatever they have done, it is not a reason for them to be killed by the hands of the police, the people who were sworn in to protect and serve the innocent. To go a step even farther, what's really sad is you have the people who are sworn in to protect the innocent that are being paid by the same people that they're killing. The people you're killing pay your salary. They pay taxes. You work for them. You're killing your boss. Are you crazy? And I know some of you don't think of it like that. I know some of you don't see it that way, but it's true. Without your money, they would not be employed. They would not have a job. That money comes from somewhere. Okay? I told another guy, man, I said, you know, it's no need for me to talk with you, because you're starting to piss me off. And I usually don't get pissed off. I usually have time and I go back and forth with these people trying to help who I can help and make people understand what's going on. Now, a lot of these people I already know. They know what's going on. They just don't want to admit it. But I'm telling you now, you're going to mess around and let me get an army, man. And I'm going to say bring it on, because I'm not afraid. I am a stand-up guy for right. Now, I wasn't always, but I am now. So judge me for now. Don't judge me in my past. Okay? I've always been a stand-up guy. It just wasn't for the right thing. I was a stand-up guy when I was in the streets. I was a stand-up guy when I was whoring. You can ask any woman I ever dealt with sexually, I took care of in one way or another. And I'm not talking about sex. A bill need this. I always been a stand-up guy. But it wasn't always for the right things. So we're going to clear that up right now. I don't want y'all to say, well, dang, he used to be flawed. Nah. No. Told this guy, man, I'm so tired of hearing and seeing this that I'm almost numb to these incidents now. That's sad. That's bad. That's when you, America, should be afraid. when a man feels numb or when a woman feels numb, no color. This could be a white man, black man, Asian man, whatever color you are. When a man or a woman feels numb to a situation, that is when you should be afraid. Now, I know if I'm feeling numb, imagine what other people are feeling. Imagine the people whose families are going through it. Imagine what they're feeling. They got to be feeling numb. It's happening over and over and over and over and over again. It's been happening, but now we can see it. Videos everywhere. People recording. I'm telling you, and I've been giving you warnings. The warnings are up, man. I don't have any more warnings in me. I'm getting ready to strike out. I'm getting ready to lash out. I'm getting ready to go public with it. And it's going to be some changes made. It's going to be some changes made in my life. I got to go harder. I have to do more. I understand that now. I understand that more than ever. Tragedy after tragedy. Killing after killing. Incident after incident. I'm going to tell you something now, America. Your time is up. And you know, I've gotten feedback from certain people say, man, you're totally different from when you perform or when you're in a debate on the podcast. It's a reason for that. I'm not here to hoop and holler all the time. I'm not here to be entertaining or exciting for you all the time if you're listening to this podcast. I'm trying to give information. Sometimes you can't yell, you can't scream, you can't, you know, have this bigger-than-life personality all the time. Sometimes it takes calm speaking and teaching to reach the people who need information. It's like a preacher. You have some of your preachers who like to, you know, whoop-de-woo and run all over the place and, you know, you know, all that. You know, if you ever been to a Church of God in Christ or a Pentecostal church, you know what I'm talking about. And then you have your other preachers who are teachers. It's not so much of the theater. They talk to you like they were talking to a classroom. And on this show, you know, I get a little excited when I have co-hosts, you know. But when it's just me, I'm in a stage of my life where I'm trying to do more teaching. And I'm going to give you the entertainment through my music and my music videos and my film. I feel like it's information that needs to be given to somebody. And I don't want this information to get mixed up in the theatrics of it. If that makes sense to you. How can a man be shot all those times walking away? You had a good amount of time to arrest this man, but you chose not to. You chose to shoot him in the back. Now, in my opinion, after having a whole day to go over the situation that happened, the events that occurred, and I'm going back to the guys I was talking to online because I have more stories to tell you all about them. But after making my assessments all day, I didn't speak on, you know, the incident with these guys. I didn't start off anyway bringing that up. I asked, one guy put up a video of a totally different incident. A totally different area of the United States of America. And told me and my partner, Dre, that this guy said he was going to the car to get a gun. I asked this young man before I judged, before I assumed, I asked him where did he get that information from. I would like to see it and hear it for myself because I could not find it or I did not hear it. I didn't hear about it either. Not that way. I asked this gentleman to send me the information. He never sent it to me. And he was, this guy was saying, come on, man, can't you see it's clear to see it's the same case? No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't, man. That was this guy trying to make me believe something that my eyes clearly showed me was the opposite. And this man really wanted me to believe it. He wanted Dre to believe it. Now, let me tell you something about me and my partner Dre. We are not morons. We are not idiots. We have great judgment. Most instances. We have a great mind. Almost genius minds. And that's not to be cocky or arrogant or brag on, you know, ourselves. I say that because we're talented. I say that because we do multiple different things. I say that because we create product and art out of nothing. People who do that they have some kind of genius in them. Anyway, he wanted us to believe this was the same video so bad. This guy had on an orange shirt. It was clear to see. He was walking towards the police. Police shot him on a sidewalk. Clearly not the same video. The video we're talking about today, the guy was going to his car to get in his car. Was shot in his car. That's a big difference. Somebody walking towards the police on the sidewalk, trees everywhere, versus what actually happened. A guy going to a big truck, SUV, to get in the car and leave. It's just a big difference. And I'm not dumb enough. You can't tell me the rain is purple when I know it's clear or blue or whatever you want to call that color. So one, you thought us brothers was just dumb, huh? Or maybe you did think that it was the same video because all black people look alike to you. I don't know. You pick which one and you let me know. I'm sure he'll listen to this episode because I'm going to send it to him. Like I said, I am not afraid to have conversations. I am not afraid to stand up and say what I want to say. I am not afraid of the fight that may come with it. I am not afraid of the death that may come with it. I accept it. It's not too many people who really accept it. A lot of people say they accept it and bring it on and this and that. We gonna ride and I'm down for it, but it's not many people who are really down. Okay? Not like me. Not like some of my people. You know, I made a transition and I looked back on it today and I thought about it. I reminisced. I started doing tours in the early 2000s. We're in 2020 now. So we're talking about almost 20 years. That's right. I'm getting old. I'm not ashamed of it, man. I'm actually proud of it because that's a great amount of time, a big amount of time that I made big changes in my life. You know, I made changes in my life for the better. But I want to say, and listen, I know I'm taking my time tonight because I'm trying to word everything the correct and proper way. I made changes in my life for the better. I'll say it again. I made changes in my life for the better, and that should not be held against me or anybody else in this country. I'm not saying you have to pat people on the back and praise them, but it definitely should not be held against them to the point where they're dead or either paralyzed or either hung from a tree or even bombarded in the middle of the night and killed in your own house or even killed, hunted down while jogging in a neighborhood or having a knee on your neck and three other officers on your body, entire body, for over 8 minutes. Are you kidding me? And you call this the best country in the world? There's no way that a man's past should be brought up after he's unjustly killed. And these guys were on the internet today defending wrong, not just today, from previous incidents. And me and this young man, Dre, he's a grown man. We're grown men. And we carry ourselves like grown men. And we act like grown men. We speak like grown men. And men of this standard that I'm speaking of should feel safe in this country. But these guys online today found every kind of way to try to justify what is happening. One guy even went to say, why burn your own city down? Yeah, we gonna burn it down. We gonna burn these cities down. We built them anyway. You know? We built these cities. We built this country. For free. Might I add. We did that. So that everybody could enjoy it. But it seems like everybody's enjoying except us. You hate to hear Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is not a company. I'll say that again. Yes, somebody copywrote a trademark, the Black Lives Matter, and made it a business. That is not what Black Lives Matter is. You know, and it's sad to think that you guys would continue to see the brutality, the racism, the bigotry, the evil, the sinister. You know, I can go on and on with words that are describe the people in this country who are messed up, who are corrupt. And I'm talking to the biggest gang in the world. The biggest gang in the world is not the Crips, the Bloods, the GDs, the VDs, whatever other folk. It's not them. The biggest gang is law enforcement. That's the biggest gang in this country. And they're running wild right now. They are running wild right now. Now, oops, upside our head every chance they get. We should feel safe. We should feel free. We should have equal opportunity. And these are things that we are not having. These are conversations that people brush off. These are conversations that people won't have with us, but will have them amongst themselves. And then want us to buy in to what they're trying to sell us, even though what they're trying to sell us is a bad product. Come on, man. I'm not Boo Boo the Fool. I swear, I wish I had the same amount of people backing me and supporting me and riding with me as when I was hanging in the streets. Because it would be a war right now. It is a war right now, but it'll be a physical war right now if I had the same manpower as I once had when I was hanging in the streets. I want to take some time out right now and check out some of the NBA players and some of the staff off of First Take. I watch that show every day. We're going to listen in and see what, you know, the King, LeBron James and Hill and Stephen A. Smith say. So let's enjoy hearing them take up for us for 1 second. I say enjoy. That's right. Enjoy them taking up for us. Enjoy hearing them speak on our behalf. These are people who don't have to do that. So let's appreciate them. And listen, for the good people that's out here, let's celebrate them. Let's push them up because those are the people who are going to have our best interests at heart for the most part. We're going to go ahead and listen to a couple of the NBA players and what they had to say about the incidents, okay?
Frankly, it's just in our community and us. I know people get tired of hearing me say it, but we are scared as black people in America. Black men, black women, black kids, we are terrified. Because you don't know. You have no idea. You have no idea how that cop that day left the house.
This is LeBron James talking,
people.
Good
side of the bed, you don't know if he will work on the wrong side of the bed. You don't know if he had an argument at home with a significant other. You know if one of his kids said something crazy to him and he left the house steaming. Or maybe he just left the house saying that today is going to be the end for one of these black people. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like.
What do you feel like you or you all can do from Orlando, from the position that you're in right now?
I mean, we can't do anything. First of all, we shouldn't even came to this damn place, to be honest. I think coming here just took all the focal points off of what the issues are. But we're here, so it is what it is.
This is the voice of George Hill.
Unfortunately, I have more chilling details. Jacob Blake is just 29 years old. His father told the Chicago Sun-Times that he is paralyzed from the waist down. Doctors are uncertain if this condition will be permanent. So we heard from LeBron. We heard from George Hill, Stephen A. Now I want to hear from you.
Well, it's unfortunate. There's no doubt about that. It's sad. It's disgusting. Because I think that LeBron James makes a point. In a very salient point when he points out how you don't know what we go through. There are a lot of details to various incidents, not George Floyd, because we saw that on video, but others you can look at and you can interpret any way you want to. All right. Why did this man go back to the car? Why did this guy fight the police officer and run away and all of this other stuff? Here's what I want white America to understand. Dylann Roof goes to a church in South Carolina years ago and shoots 9 black worshipers. There is a manhunt for this person. Not only is he arrested, they stopped him at, I don't know whether it was McDonald's or Burger King. They actually stopped to get him food in bringing him into custody because he was hungry. But an unarmed black man ends up getting shot. See, the problem that exists with white America is that this is what white, a lot of folks in white America are not getting. Because that's the question that black folks continuously ask, facetiously, no doubt. But we ask the question nevertheless, how is it that a white person can find themselves committing acts of violence, but they get arrested, but unarmed black men are getting shot? That is the fear that LeBron James, I believe, was alluding to when he said, you just don't get it. How scared we wake up every day. We have children. We're wondering what's going to happen to us. And it could be contingent upon the mood of a police officer. I've been on national television on this show where I pointed out how I was in New York City driving with my daughter, who I believe was like around 8 at the time. And I'm driving down Amsterdam Avenue going towards Harlem. I think I'm like at between 79th and 80th Street. And I get pulled over by a cop. The next thing you know, it's 3 squad cars pulling me over. And the cop said, show me your license and registration. I said, here, sir, because I always roll down all 4 windows. I put my hands on the steering wheel. My daughter is in the back seat. And the cop says, show me your license and registration. And I handed it to him, but I said, officer, what did I do? And he starts screaming at me and pointing at me and don't effing talk back to me and all of this stuff. And then puts his hand on his gun. And it wasn't until the other officer came to him and the officer said, oh, and he said the S word, oh. And then he grabs the officer, pulls him away. And then the officer comes back to me, hands me my license and registration. Have a nice day. So evidently the officer noticed who I was. And let me go. The other officer I'm talking about here. What if he were not there? What if that was the only officer that had showed up with his partner? Clearly he didn't care that my daughter was in the background. I just told you all 4 windows were down. That's the kind of stuff that we're talking about here. And so when you see somebody, you know, a police officer, and they come up to you and LeBron says, I don't know what kind of mood they're going to be in. It resonates because that's the issue. We see pundits all over the place and people speaking about how the numbers are equate. There are white people that got shot. There are white people that's getting arrested. There are white people that are being thrown in jail, blah, 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 blah. That's not the issue. The issue is the innate fear that has been instilled in black people because of the violence perpetrated against us when there's no cause for it. If you are unarmed, if you are handcuffed behind your back, why are you getting shot? Why do you have a knee on your neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds? These are the kind of things that we're talking about. We don't hear about that stuff happening in the white community. Now, if it is happening and you have proof that it's happening, then that's a different discussion for another day. But throughout our history, that hasn't been the issue. It hasn't been discussed because we know that black folks are treated differently than white folks, that obviously we understand some of the reasons why when we talk about systemic racism and we're talking about society, that doesn't mean every white person is racist. If you are not racist and you are not the one engaging in systemic racism and you are not the one that are trying to look down on people because they are of a different culture, a different pigmentation and things of that nature, we're not talking about you.
Okay. That was Stephen A. Smith. That was Stephen A. Smith, man. The brother dropped some knowledge. I agree with what he said. I always say, if what I'm talking about does not pertain to you, you really don't have to respond. You really don't even have to engage in a debate because I'm not talking to you. If the shoe fits, you wear it. If the shoe fits, you wear it. All I know, man, is we tired, man. We tired of feeling how we feel. And if you can't sympathize with that, I don't know what to tell you. Okay? I just don't know what to tell you. But I will tell you this. We're not going to take it. We are not going to take any more of this foolishness, this rhetoric and propaganda that America would like us to take. You know, you can deal with it however you want to deal with it, but I'm telling you, we not taking it anymore. I never took it, but a lot of people have, and I'm just so happy to see a lot of people are waking up. A lot of people waking up and realizing they don't want to take it any longer either. You know, I can only imagine what our grandfathers and grandmothers and aunts and uncles and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents who were probably either slaves or brought up in the Jim Crow era are feeling, had to feel what they went through, you know, and it's just a shame, man. I'm almost lost for words. Almost lost for words. Man, it makes me really want to do something. And I'm not talking about doing something in a sane mind. It takes me there. We're now going to go to another show that I watch, Undisputed. Let's see what, you know, my brother Shannon Sharp has to say about the process and what's going on and what's happened.
Sports world has had many voices speak out after video emerged of Jacob Blake, a black man in Wisconsin, who was shot in the back several times by police. Milwaukee Bucks guard George Hill was asked about it. Take a listen.
I mean, we can't do anything. First of all, we shouldn't even came to this damn place, to be honest. I think
we already heard this, but I'm gonna let it ride out.
Issues are, but
I'm gonna let it ride out. We need to hear it again.
It is what it is.
And again, and again, and again.
We can't do anything.
We need to hear it until we can't stomach hearing it.
Once all settles, you know, some things need to be done. I think this world has to change. I think our police department has to change. Us as society has to change.
Shannon, your reaction to what he said.
Skip George, first, you wouldn't think that Wisconsin and maybe Milwaukee would have the issues that they have with the black and the police, but Milwaukee's having a very troubled past. Very, very, very troubled.
I know that.
Yeah, we know that. But I think sometimes...
By the way, George Floyd was murdered in Minnesota. Thank you.
And Skip, for me, the emotions that George Hill and a lot of the black athletes and a lot of black people, especially the athletes, let's just take the guy, people in the bubble, the emotion is raw because we see another black man,
yep,
seven shots to the back,
yep,
in front of his kids. And we're like, wow, here we go again. The George Floyd happened 3 months ago, and somehow we're still here. Breonna Taylor happened, you know, six months ago. Aubrey happened in Brunswick in February, and it's still happening. Unfortunately, George Hill, it's hard for me to see a scenario or believe that had you not gone to the bubble, this would not have happened. Because there's a system in place, and there's a operating procedure that the police have been able to operate for hundreds of years with impunity. They don't have a problem. They're going to go, the Supreme Court says, hey, if you have a threat, be it real or perceived, is okay for you to use deadly force. So, Skip, I felt that he was going for something. I felt that my life was in danger. I felt I was at risk. I have the right to use deadly force. Yep. They do not shoot. And people are like, well, why don't they shoot? Because they're not taught to shoot to injure. They're shot to shoot center mass, shoot to kill. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do.
Yep.
And until first of all, the one thing we're going to have to put politicians in that want to, we got to break the, you got to break the stranglehold that the police union have. They're far, far too powerful. Skip, I should not be, first of all, you should not be able to do something and then you get 48 hours, you get 72 hours before the police can interview you. And then I got to give you all the information, all the evidence I have against you.
Yep.
They don't do that in the regular court. They don't do that to a regular criminal.
They do not.
It's heartbreaking that we watch this and we see this happen. Skip, we see they bring this up. Chris Paul mentioned Jacob Blake. LeBron mentioned Jacob Blake. Mike Budenholzer. They mentioning these guys by name. They're mentioning Breonna Taylor. Say her name. Mm-hmm. DeSandro, that's what they say their names. How many more? George Floyd, they're mentioning them. And police are still pop, 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 pop like it's nothing. Because you know why, Skip? They're going to get that administrative leave. They're going to still get your administrative leave. You still get paid. And then guess what? They're going to find where he used the proper amount of force because he felt his life or the guy was reaching for something. And then what they do is that they paint the guy. And everybody that is okay with police officers killing unarmed men, they're going to go back. Well, you remember back in 10th grade, he shoplifted. And now what you do, you sully up the victim. Like at that point in time, the officer knew that this guy had a prior history or he had done something. Skip, it's just sad. But unfortunately, George Hill, I don't believe had you not gone to the bubble,
yep.
this senseless act could have been prevented. I don't believe any of these acts could have been prevented by these guys not going to the bubble.
I hear you. Okay, I want to say it one more time. Your community, the black community, is still facing a horrifying problem in this country of white policemen shooting, murdering unarmed black men and women.
Right.
It's a horrifying problem, and I get it. It's one you can't sleep at night over. Can I go out? Can I drive my car? Am I going to get shot in the back?
Right.
And it happened again.
This is the voice of Skip Bayless,
we didn't see
a white man.
It's happening all over this country. So
a white man is on our side. A white man is on our side.
It has not been fixed yet. There are not enough consequences.
Right.
Maybe there will be in Minneapolis. Maybe there will be. We'll see. But as much as George Hill's heart was breaking, as he said, and as much respect as I have for him, because he's a good man. He's been a solid citizen and a tough guy and a competitor and all that is, I give him high marks in every category, sort of on and off the court. This hit me out of left field. Like, George, what are you saying? Because he did choose to go to the bubble, and then he dismisses the bubble as, we shouldn't have come to this damn place. This damn place. Okay, now think about the impact of this. In this damn place, Commissioner Silver and everybody else involved from LeBron and CP3 on down have managed to avoid one positive virus test that I know of.
Right.
That's a spectacular achievement this late into the bubble.
Right.
Not one positive test. I'm going to knock on wood for them. It is working. I'm not saying it has worked, but it is working.
Correct.
So George Hill is a veteran. As a 34-year-old, should respect that because he chose to be part of this team.
Right.
And he didn't just choose to be part of the Trailblazers or the Nets. He chose to be part of the team with the best record in all of basketball.
Right.
The one that is favored in most betting houses by most odds makers to win this year's championship. And that's unfair to make that statement to your teammates and your coaching staff and your executives who are down there. All for one, one for all, because you always say two things can be true.
Right.
Well, there are two things that can be accomplished here. You can make all kinds of statements for racial and social justice while you're in the bubble.
Yes.
In fact, the stage you're provided in the bubble, and the irony of him making that comment, he's being interviewed by the mass media. Right. Some of them are distant, you know, it's virtual, but
right.
George Hill last night was potentially speaking to millions of people when he spoke that.
Correct.
So it just hit me wrong because it's not fair to the team to make that statement when, to your point, I would have been all for George Hill opting out.
Right.
Avery Bradley opted out.
Right.
Others opted out. Just didn't want to go for whatever reason, but it seemed like Avery's was
right.
Racial justice issue.
Right.
Good for you.
I think he had another issue.
He did.
Yeah.
I got it. There are those different reasons,
right.
Personal,
right.
Otherwise. But if your reason to opt out was to continue to campaign and sort of strike while that iron was at its hottest right now for racial justice, I'm great with that. And if George Hill had opted out, I'd be great with that. But he didn't opt out. He opted in. And now they're about to finish off Orlando, and they're going to have a tough second round against the hot Miami team.
Yes.
So here we go. And why would you make that statement? Except I'm trying to give him a little break because his heart's broken.
Right.
This was shocking,
right.
To him. But to your point,
that's in the state where he played. So it's very close.
I got it. But what could he have done at home if he had opted out? What could he do to further the cause that he couldn't do in the bubble? I can make a strong case you can do a lot more in the bubble,
right.
Because you're on national TV every other night.
And and what you're trying to do is bring attention to, shed light, bring
yes.
light to a situation.
Yes.
So you can do that better.
You can.
That's right. We need all of our people to talk about it. Not only talk about it, do something about it. Some change has got to happen, man. Some change got to happen. I'm telling you, some change got to happen. I'm fed up, man. I'm sick of it. I want to take this chance and this time and opportunity to say thank you to every other race that is standing by us, that is standing with us, that is willing to put their life on the line for us and with us. I don't care what color you are. I don't care where you come from. If you're standing with us now, I appreciate you. I want to jump back to what I was saying earlier about, a person's past. I really don't have to touch on it too much because they've said the same thing and echoed the same thing that I already said. A person's past should not be the determining factor on whether you assassinate or kill somebody. This guy was leaving, walking away. To be honest with you, now that I know the whole story, the guy was breaking up a fight between two women. When the police got there, the only thing they should have said to this man was, "Thank you, we have it from here. If you want to stick around and give a statement," or, you know, even if they asked him, "Hey man, just hang out over here. We need a statement from you, and you know, you could be on your way." That would have been fine. That's not what happened. You see, we are automatically suspects without even having proof, or without even doing anything. We're suspects to a lot of cops, not all cops, but a lot of them. And I said this before, the reason all cops are getting blamed for these crooked and bad and evil cops is because the good cops are not telling on the bad cops. They are not holding their fellow man and co-workers accountable. You know, it's sad, man. I really am frustrated right now, and I'm trying to do, you know, the rest of this show without showing my behind, man. What I mean by showing my behind is actually letting you hear me in a way that I don't want you to hear me. Because I'm biting my lip right now just to keep calm. My legs are shaking. My legs are shaking. Because when I get this angry, I want to do something to somebody. I want to do something to somebody, man. You know, I think about my days of hanging out and thugging and selling dope and running around with women. You know, this could have been me. I actually had incidents like this happen to me. Thank God for the woman I was with at the time. Her family was there and we were having to get together and it was a bunch of us, so they were limited in what they could do to us. But it could have been me. My cousin and I, K-Slim, sitting in my car, listening to music, not driving, not moving, parked car, police pull up, jump out, AK-47s. Shotguns, Glocks, pointed at us, saying, "Show me your hands, get out the car." They said, "Show me your hands and get out the car" at the same time. I didn't know what was going on, man. I didn't know what was going on. My cousin didn't know what was going on. Now, me being from the streets and in the streets, I was steady. I was okay. I'm not one to panic too much. I'm not one to stress. I'm not one to, you know, let something bother me. But my cousin never been through that. You know. And this was before he got saved. We just sitting there listening to music in the car. They pull up with all these guns, tell us to get out. They tear my car apart. Throw everything out on the floor. My girlfriend at the time, Yetta, her family, which became my family, and to this day is still my family, came out. We were at Tammy's house. Thank God, you know, we had people out there making noise for us, man, because that could have been a bad night for us. That could have been a bad night for us because at that time, my mind wasn't wrapped tight. I would have made them kill me. And I'm not saying that I would have been like, kill me, but you're not just going to do me any kind of way. You're not just going to do me any kind of way for no reason. If anybody who knows me knows, if I did something wrong, I'll take the lick. I'll take the punishment. I'll take the consequence. But if I'm innocent, you're not just going to do me any kind of way. So thank God for that night not turning into a death. They threw all my stuff out on the floor, on the ground, concrete. Tore my trunk up. Tore the insides up. Thank God they did not find... I had a 45 underneath the spare tire. They tore the whole car up and didn't find that gun. We would have been having a whole different conversation if they found that gun. Man, I wish there was somewhere else for us to go. I wish we knew our people. I wish we knew our language. I wish we didn't have to raise our kids up in this chaos. I wish we had more love for one another. I wish we had more respect for one another so that we could come together and be that force that is needed to really make change. we got a president and Mr. Biden, who's running for president. They're not saying anything. They're not speaking up about it. They're brushing it off the same way they were brushing off COVID-19, which we still don't have all the answers to, which we still are uncertain on the symptoms, which we are still uncertain on if those numbers are actually the numbers, you know, of the deaths and the infectees. Listen, man, we living in a crazy time right now. And I'm not so much afraid for myself because I've accepted whatever's going to happen to me is going to happen. I've stared death in the face and I've been unafraid. Not saying that I'm not afraid, but I'm saying that every time that it's come to my face, I've been unafraid for whatever reason. Say, you know, it's God, man. You know, I'm not saying that when it's time for me to die, I won't be afraid. I don't know. I've never died before. What I'm saying is, every time death has came knocking at my door, I've been unafraid, which I say that to say this. If it's coming to me, it's coming to me, and I'll stand tall, unafraid. For myself, for my kids, for my family that I deal with, for my friends that I deal with, which are very few, all across the board, I'll stand in the paint unafraid, unapologetic. I don't care. I'm tired. I'm burnt out right now. You know, it takes a lot to see these things and go through these things and relive these things week after week and not be affected in some kind of way. Now, I'm not a crying person. I'm not a emotional person. But even the strongest man on earth, you know, would be burnt out if he had to watch what we're having to watch, if he had to live through what we're living through. I'm a soldier, so I keep it moving. I try to find the best. But these presidents, I feel like, you know, are not doing anything. They're not even speaking about these things, man. And when they have spoken about it, they were against the people that were victims. They were for the other side. So you know what that tells me, right? Fuck them. I don't have a president. My president is not human. My president is up in the clouds. Can't no president tell me, you know, what to do, how to live, what to think. You don't even want to talk about what's wrong with me. You don't even want to talk about what's wrong with us. You don't want to talk about what you can do to help us. You don't want to talk about what you can do to make it better for us. When I say us, I'm not just talking black people. I'm talking people of all colors that are in these situations. Because believe it or not, it's white people. It's Asian people, it's Mexicans, it's Guatemalans, it's Haitians, it's Jamaicans, it's Bahamians. All of these people have to live through this. And for those of you from other cultures who really think you're above another culture, you need to stop. Because I'm getting sick of that too. I'm getting sick of seeing that shit too. Man, we all here via Africa. That's right. You may have never lived there, but you're here via Africa. Okay? Go do your homework. Do some research. Educate yourself. It's a sad time, man. It's a sad day. And I'm lost for words. I'm tired. I'm burnt out. My mind is everywhere. Every time I want to get ready to release some music or do some music, man, another incident happened that just postponed it because I can't put those records out in a time like this. I have to go and put out records that's representing our people, that's talking to our people, to give our people motivation. Yeah, I want to do the fun records. Yes, I want to be a Mr. Personality that I know I can't be on the radio and on the podcast, but this, the way I'm talking to you right here and right now, is plain as plain Jane can get. You don't need to hear any excitement. You need to get some teaching. You need to get some healing. That's what we're trying to do here, man. We need to come together and heal each other. Okay? It's a shame, man. This man was shot in the back. He's paralyzed now. I said that earlier. They confirmed it. Paralyzed from the neck down. So you might as well say he's dead. Let me tell you something. When a man has all his limbs, all his senses, and then you take all of them away at the same time, I can't even explain it, man. He's dead. Being that way might be worse. Than being dead, man. Think about that. Who wants to live like that? Are you really living? You know, let's pray for this brother, man, that he's not paralyzed forever. For the rest of his life. Let's hope it's a temporary thing that they can fix. Or he'll be healed. If that's God's will. Man, this is ridiculous, man. Who would have thought we were still going be going through this in 2020? 2020 been a hell of a year. And not in a good way. Man, I'm getting ready to sign off, man. I can't talk anymore. I can't even think, man. Forgive me, people. I'm having a moment right now. Not an emotional moment. I mean, it may be an emotional moment, but you know, I want something to happen. I need something to happen. I want to see my brothers and sisters come together, man. Man, that's it. I love y'all, man. Love, peace, happiness, nappiness, and hair grease. I'm your host, Jamori Kennard. Hopefully, next show, we can have some positive topics to talk about. Man, I'm messed up right now, man. Once again, y'all forgive me. But I really want to do something. Let's make it clear. I don't want to do anything to myself. But I want to do something, man. This man had kids, man. in the SUV with him? What if one of those kids would have got shot? You know, bullets go all kind of ways. Just because you aiming doesn't mean that bullet's going to go directly the way you want it to go. Bullets have bounced off things. Bullets have, you know, man, I'm going to get with y'all, man. I don't even want to talk anymore right now. God bless y'all, man. Y'all pray for your boy. America is officially in the state of emergency. And yes, I will be on the front lines, marching, protesting, creating chaos again in just a few hours, okay? We're going to start another movement. We're not letting these people die in vain. Clark Sisters got a song, "Is My Living in Vain?" I hope not. I hope I can reach somebody. I hope I can teach somebody. I hope I can be a friend to somebody. I'm out, man.